Mr. Joginder Singh, Real One. Mr. Joginder, can you tell us something about your personal background?
Oh yes, I was born in Malacca. My father was in the police department. He ran away from India at a time when there was competition going on between two steamship companies, and he was lucky enough to get free passage into Singapore. And he joined the police force. And eventually, well, got married, and I was born in Malacca. And at that time, my father was in the Straits Settlements Police Force, meaning that he could be posted either to Singapore, Penang, or Malacca, and there were transfers from one place to another. That is how I came to be in Malacca. And as far as education is concerned, well, subsequently, my father was transferred at one time to Penang and then to Singapore. I joined the Penang, the McNair School. I joined first the Pearl Seal School in 1928. And from there to McNair and then Victoria School. And for my secondary, well, I was in the Raffles Institution.
You had your education in Singapore?
Up to what is known as Junior Cambridge. And then in 1936, towards the end of the year, he was transferred to Penang. And I finished my school certificate examination at a free school, Penang. Spent a year or so in the Government Commercial Day School. And by that time, he got himself, well, he was transferred to Malacca. And I came to Malacca, I joined him in Malacca, and that is the place where I commenced my employment in the Civil District Court, Malacca. That would be about the 5th of June 1940. And because of my connection, I say, with the government service and also my father being in government service, I thought that it was quite proper for me to join the Malacca Volunteer Corps, and I joined in the signal section.
Besides being in the government service that prompted you to join the NVC, were there any other reasons?
Besides that, I don't think there were other reasons, because the other is, well, a friend who was another Singh, who himself was a volunteer. He and another friend of his, both these two persons, well, more or less coerced me into joining.
Do you remember when and how did you join the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
You see, they had parade once a week, and on one of the paydays, when I had said yes, well, they came to my home and took me along with them to the Volunteer Corps headquarters, and then I was taken before the commanding officer, and I was recruited in.
When you met the commanding officer, was there any kind of interview?
Well, I think all the spade work had been done by them, by those two, who were themselves. One was a lance corporal in the Volunteer Corps, in the signal section. He spoke to his commanding officer, or also commanding, that, well, I brought this boy to join, and gave him background that I was working the courts and whatnot. And the commanding officer, or the officer commanding, who himself was a teacher in one of the Malacca schools, well, did not have any difficulty in taking me in.
Was there any kind of requirement before you can be recruited?
That's the only, as far as I, well, the only thing that I knew is, so long as there was a sufficient command of the English language, and one, well, was, well, appeared to be physically fit, he would be taken on and had to go through the medical examination. And in my case, well, my medical examination for government service And for enlistment into the volunteer corps was just more or less about 3 weeks apart.
So when did you join the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
It would have been about July 1940. Considering I joined government service in June, it would have been the region of July.
Who was the officer commanding of the signal section?
Well, at that time, the OC of the signal section happened to be Mr. E.W. Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S, the schoolmaster. Our commanding officer was the headmaster of a school, Mr. Scott, a veteran of the First World War. And the adjutant happened to be somebody by the name of Mr. Darby, who was connected with Sime Darby and Company.
Before you joined the Malacca Volunteer Corps, how much did you know of it?
You see, all that I know is that it was more or less, shall I put it, an amateur army with the same sort of sections as the various army in the army, and we would more or less be only called upon to help the police with their duties if the situation was had reached a stage in which the police themselves could not themselves sufficiently well take command and wanted some extra assistance. That is the impression we had. And in order to keep ourselves, say, well up with the regulations, we had to attend parades once a week. Well, since we were in the signal section, well, after going through the rudiments of the army, foot drill and handling of the arms, rifles, we, well, had to do signaling with flag, signal key, and the lamp. And it was by way of this Morse code. Well, a series of dots and dashes.
Did you know how the NVC was formed and when it was formed?
No, I won't know, but it was formed very likely, or maybe by the time when I joined in 1940, it would have been formed. As close to the beginning of the 20th century as possible.
What about the structure of the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
Oh, yes, it had. The State Settlements Volunteer Corps well had two battalions in Singapore, one in Penang and one in Malacca. And we had A Company, B Company, C Company, headquarter wing. Well, the headquarter wing had in it the signalers and the medical unit. Whereas the A Company, B Company, and the C Company comprised the C Company, I believe, was the Malays, the B would have been the Eurasians, and the A, the mix of this Chinese section. And they were either on the mechanical, the armored unit dealing with transport or machine gun section or doing a reconnaissance work.
Under the headquarters wing, only the signalers and the medical unit?
I think the reconnaissance section very likely would have been also there. But as far as I'm concerned, I was more concerned with the medical side and the signals, which we used to share our hut together. The barrack. We have about 30 men on each side.
So you would belong to the headquarters?
Headquarter wing of the 4th Battalion.
How many, in each company, how many groups were there?
Pardon?
In each company, like the A Company, how many platoons would be will be there.
I won't be able to say, but since we are in Malacca and it's only one battalion, I think our number must have been very small, maybe. But it could be in the region of 1,000 or so. I'm just here making a guess.
What
very likely less than that, definitely not beyond that.
Mm. What about the signals? How many people?
The signals? I think in the region of 30 or so.
Who was overall in charge of the Malacca Volunteer Corps, or the 4th Battalion?
The 4th SFC, Mr. Scott, he's the commanding officer.
Was he the highest ranking officer?
He is the highest ranking. Colonel, I think.
And Mr. Reeves come on under him?
He is, yes, he is a lieutenant.
For the signal section, who was the person in charge?
Mr. Reeves, E.W. Reeves.
Who would be the people that would most likely join the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
Well, in those days, those who had gone through the English schools, well, and had been working for some time, joined it, and because they would get paid transport allowance for attending parades, they worked on the basis maybe 20 cents a mile or so, well, the younger boys thought that it was a good idea to, well, attend parades, claim transport, utilize it for their weekend entertainment. But as for the other older ones were concerned, well, for them it was just a diversion from the everyday monotonous life.
What was the age range like?
You see, the age range would be between, say, about 20 or thereabouts, up to, say, about 40 or so.
Were all of them, or most of them, English educated?
All, you see, we had all the commands, army military commands, were given in the English language. In those days, everything was being done in English. So they had to understand English if they and make themselves understood in English.
You mentioned that the role was to help out, help the police if there was a need to. Was it meant more for civil, maintaining civil law and order, or more for military?
Our understanding was, yes, because we had, in though up to then, there had never been any trouble, upheaval of in this country at all. Well, even Malacca, definitely not. In Singapore and Penang, where my father was, once in a while the police may have been called out to attend to disturbances due to, say, strikes or something of that sort. But other than that, never. The only occasion I distinctly remember was the Tiong Bahru fire in the 30s, when my father, who was a drill instructor in the police training school, had to come to town to help in escorting or in the duties of maintenance of the crowds who were obstructing people at the scene of the fire.
While you were with the Malacca Volunteer Corps, did you have any opportunity to go out and be involved in any such work?
No, you see, we were not at all called out to attend to any of such duties.
Besides having drills and training in how to handle arms as well as signaling, were there any other kind of training that you received?
You see, considering that although we were in a time of peace, but there was a danger of war breaking out, legislation had been passed that every year 3 weeks or so were to be devoted by volunteers to intensive training, with the result that towards the end of 1940, we had to undergo 3 weeks of concentrated training, meaning that we had to put aside our civil work and concentrate into this sort of training, living in camp and living there and leading the life of a full-time soldier, except on weekends when we were allowed to go home. And this period of 3 weeks training for the year 1940 was followed after a short break with the 3 week training for the year 1941. And during that period, the second period of training, the first period of training, although our headquarters in Malacca Central, we were sent out to Jassin, a district about 80 miles away from Malacca town. And for the second period of training, we spent part of it in Singapore. We were billeted in a camp, I think, somewhere in the Buona Vista area. We had to pitch our own tents and were there. And most of the area from the Singapore Railway Station till the end of the metal West Coast Road, where they had pill boxes on the beach, we, the signalers of 4th Battalion, laid our telephone cable or telephone lines into the pill boxes, and at the end of this we had a concentrated skip, an exercise. For that purpose we came to Singapore. In fact, the first taste we had of military duties was when we got off the train at Johor Bahru. We were suddenly attacked by a few RAF planes who strafed or bombed us, and we had to take shelter. That was first impression of this, the first stage we had of this army exercise. And after that we got used to it. During this concentrated training, I remember we would leave our camp about 6 a.m. in the morning to lay cables, and we would not be back until past midnight. And then next morning again, 6 to 7 a.m., we were up repeating the job.
What kind of routine did you have while undergoing the 3 week training?
Let's see. For the defense of Singapore, government had constructed concrete circular boxes, box-like things, on the beach with slits for machine guns to be placed, and the soldiers or the machine gunners would be in and fire towards the beach or any other direction in which the enemy came. And just outside this pillbox there would be a cable, a cable would have been have come out from the ground, and there was a sort of a small post to which we would have two contact points. The whole underground cable was connected to the Singapore Fort Canning fortress signals. Our job was to connect telephones from the outlet point of the cable into the pill box and leave the telephones there for the use of those signalers, machine gunners, who would then be in communication with any part of Singapore Army. In fact, we could, when we had completed our telephone, we could even connect with Belakang Mati or Malacca. So that our job was to connect all these points with telephones, and there were areas in which the cables were not available, and we had to put our own telephone lines. Sometimes it would have been say about 3 to 3/4 of a mile in length.
Besides placing cables and connecting lines, did you have any kind of infantry training?
Infantry training took place right in the very beginning before we started doing our signal section work, signaling training.
But for that 3 weeks, did you have any kind of...
No, because for that infantry work, they had other units were involved, but not the signalers.
So the 3 weeks training, were other units involved together with the signalers?
Oh, yes. So we were just part of the whole group which took part in these exercises.
So what was the overall exercise like for those 3 weeks, besides just the signal sections work?
You see, my understanding was that a part of us from the defending unit, and there were the others who were the attackers. So it was something like a mock battle.
The one in Malacca, where was it carried out?
The what?
The training at Malacca, where was it carried out?
Where or when?
Where?
Oh, in Jasin, as I said. Mm-hmm. That would be Jasin. That was about 18 miles away from the Malacca Center.
And it was at the end of 1940?
1940.
Could you remember the date?
No, I won't.
What about the one in Singapore?
That would be January 1941.
Did the entire MVC come down to Singapore for that training?
I should say yes, the better part of it.
Were all of you given uniforms?
Oh yes, we had a proper set of uniforms, haversack, and we each had our own rifle to look after.
Could you describe to us the uniform that you have?
The uniform? Well, we had khaki was the color of the uniform. The shirts were long sleeved. We had shorts as well as slacks. And boots. When we had to do evening work, it was preferable to make use of slacks and loosen the sleeves of the arms of the shirt so as to prevent mosquito bites and getting malaria. And then when we were wearing these shorts, we had puttees wrapped around our calves. Oh, and the top of it was we had a hose let down, and our hose was red in color, whereas the rest of the uniform was brown. And the rifles that we were issued with were the .303 type, the same sort of rifles that were used in the Boer War.
What about your rank in the...
I was a private, that's an ordinary private.
The 30 people in the sickness, what kind of background were these people from?
Background in what sense?
Of the 30 people in the sickness, their...
Upon?
Their educational background,
I think we had about half of us would have been, or slightly less than half would have completed our school certificate. The others were just a little lower than that.
Did the signal section were the signal section the people there more highly educated than any the other units, or was the standard almost the same in the MBC?
No, I'm just on that. I'm not prepared to hazard a guess, but I'd say is Well, we had those in government service. Well, in my group, we had the teachers and the clerical staff. Slowly they would have gone through the school certificate. And those who were in the commercial lines, they would have at least got to primary six or so.
Did you know about those in the infantry or the other companies?
It was fair then. I don't know much about them.
What were the attitudes of these volunteers who were in the sickness section with regards to training and...
Well, as far as training is concerned, they attended the parades regularly and they were quite attentive to instructions given and tried to follow as well as they could. Now, as far as signaling is concerned, it's a matter of remembering the dots and the dashes and the formation of the letters. And there were those who were a bit slow, but those, like boys who were in the postal services, they had to do the most in the telegraphic section in the course of their work, and they're quite well up, and they were as well as good as any in the British Army in those days in their signaling work. But on the whole, our boys did put up a passable performance. We had two sergeants, instructors from the Loyals Regiment, to give us proper instruction in our work.
Were they regular soldiers?
Regular Loyals. The name of the regiment was Loyal Regiment, English people. And by coincidence, one of them, his name was Battle.
While you were there as a private, what was the nature of your work?
You see, as far as nature of the work is concerned, we attended parades once a week in the evenings, and when we had this concentrated training, it would be